Hi, Teresa, compulsive overeater, food addict, and exercise procrastinator. That's what I used to call myself a few months ago. Now I just say Teresa, compulsive overeater. I know I'm still a food addict, but I don't have to say it like all the time. The exercise procrastination, that's still inside me, but I'm not practicing that. I'm practicing the opposite of that, where I am exercising on a regular basis now. So, you know, a lot has changed because those titles that I gave myself, I literally did that the first week that I joined OA, which was June 7, 2020. Because I heard other people say, you know, different things and labels and stuff. So I didn't know anything about OA. I literally found out about OA June 7th, 2020. And so when I heard other people say that, I figured I needed to label myself too. And I did. And I understood why. But now for me, that's no longer needed. Because I have a different understanding of myself. I have a different understanding of these rooms. I have a different understanding of the disease itself. And I've learned so much within this short period of time because I never stop attending meetings. I keep going to meetings. I do service all the time, and I still have a regular life, you know, and my regular life actually is embedded in the 12-step program. I am in AA as well. I would not know about OA if it wasn't for AA, because I was in an AA meeting, and a fellow mentioned that she's in two programs, and she said OA, and I was like, what is OA? You know, another A? What's going on with that? So I didn't even know Al-Anon was kind of like an A. So I was, you know, I was kind of oblivious to this world of anonymous programs or 12-step programs until 3 years ago. Really, my sobriety date is just passed at October 15th, and I made 3 years sober, and 4 months after I got out of rehab, I learned about OA, and I learned about all this stuff during COVID, so I'm a COVID baby. I think if it wasn't for COVID, even though I don't really like saying that because so many people passed away, I wouldn't be here because I would not have gone to in-person meetings. I already know it. I proved myself with that with AA. I was very inconsistent with going to in-person meetings. I would go, but not every day. I needed an everyday thing. Because for me, that level of consistency helps me develop and understand this program. There is no half doing it, or even doing it three quarters, or even doing it 90% for me. It really has to be all the way, because this is a sickness, and lately, I've experienced some really serious, outcomes of this disease towards other people, not for me, but other people who suffer with this disease have taken drastic measures, and, It's just that serious. So if you're here, you're here for a reason. The important thing is to stay no matter what. And take yourself out of the equation and let your higher power guide you. Because your higher power guides you to be here. So what I really want to talk about is, you know, something that I feel like I used to do real well until I got into 12-step programs. And I realized that I wasn't doing it at all. And that's loving myself. And I know a lot of people often don't like hearing that because it's so difficult to love yourself. Because when you abuse yourself, when you abuse your body, like I have, over so many years, how is that an example of loving yourself? When others have abused you and you've been around abusive environments, how do you know how to love yourself? You know how to love others, but you don't know how to love you. And I thought I was loving me, but yet I was putting alcohol, drugs, all kinds of dangerous foods that react to my body just like alcohol and drugs, in my body on a daily basis for years. So that is definitely not an example of loving myself. It's just the opposite. But my brain starts to think of what love is giving myself some kind of comfort or release. You know, it's not about the hard work that it takes to keep a strong and healthy body, because it takes work. But it wouldn't feel like work if I had developed the habits of doing that, of being healthy with my body and working out regularly and doing all the things I'm supposed to do instead of drinking, getting high, and eating crap. That was the habit that I developed. So for me, I do say it was a habit because I grew up in a very, very loving, beautiful family. You know, it was ideal. I am 6 out of 7 kids. I am the lower 3, and we came much later than the upper 4. Same parents. My parents were together over 50 years. They both passed away. When I was born, my mom was 41 and my dad was 50. So, you know, I was raised by senior citizens, basically. And that's why I have this real love and compassion for people who are older. It makes me feel good to be able to help older people for different reasons. I've always been raised to help others, to give to those who are less fortunate. My problem, and I was always told the right thing to do. My parents were on point. They did a great job, A+. My problem was that my will told me to do everything. I was a very inquisitive person. I wanted to learn a lot, and I did. I was very successful with my work. But I allow my will to take over instead of sticking with what I learned as a youngster. All the right things. My mom was a nutritionist. So as soon as I was on my own, I decided I wanted to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. That turned into alcoholism and it turned into compulsive overeating. And the good thing is I'm here and I'm so much more happier than what I've ever been in my life ever, because I didn't know this life exists. You know, I've said this before, a 12-step program should be in schools, you know, because it's steps to follow for life. Definitely is helping me with my sobriety and my abstinence. But more importantly, it's helping me love myself, love my life, stay on top of the things that I'm supposed to stay on top of. I'm able to differentiate between what I should and shouldn't be doing. Because I say the serenity prayer every day. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Just accept it. Give me the courage to change the things that I can. Courage to change. And the wisdom to know the difference. To me, that's the biggest part. Having the wisdom to know the difference between what you can and cannot change, and don't spend time worrying about all that stuff. So when it comes to loving myself, I find, especially in these rooms, this is just my experience, I find that a lot of people don't. I think that a lot of people, including myself, have told a lot of different lies about what we should and shouldn't look like. And that's why sometimes it's kind of hard to love yourself. So what I did do was start off by just trying to like myself. You know, when I did the fourth step the first time, instead of talking about all my character defects and resentments, we started off talking about the good things about us. And I realized that I got a lot of good qualities. So I just slowly started liking those things about myself and having that focus about those things. And I know that's hard. But give yourself a break. Appreciate the things that you like about yourself. And then you slowly try to love those things about yourself. And you will see that things eventually will develop. And you will be constantly thinking about what can you do to improve. And I know that sounds selfish, but that's because we made it sound selfish. We don't have problems loving other people. We don't have problems taking care of other people. We don't have problems putting all we can to make sure that they are okay. But just think about it. How good are we if we don't take care of ourselves to those people we love? The best relationship you can have in life is the relationship you have with yourself. Loving yourself makes you better for everybody else around you. And I've learned that. Because when I thought I was loving myself, I was, you know, doing all those crazy things. And guess who was around me? The same people doing the same crazy stuff I was doing. It's crazy when I think about it. Now, the people that surround me are people who care about me. They are like-minded, like everybody in this room. And they see how important it is to work on this problem that we have. It's important because we know the outcome. I think for me right now, an example that I do every day, which fits so great into the OA program, is I watch what I eat. I pay attention to the choices I make, and I keep certain boundaries. When I do those three things regularly, my program is pretty good. Now, how does that go into the program? Well, I have a food plan. I make my food at the start of the week, pretty much Saturday or Sunday. And I make food that I'm a cook. I'm not a cook, but I cook good. I take my food and I make the type of food that sustains really well in the fridge and stays nice and moist, so that I can, eat throughout the week on that same food. Now I'll make salads and little things like that.
5 minutes remaining, Teresa.
Thank you. Ahead of time, but, my food plan is done for the week. Makes life a lot easier for me. I have a workout partner. We work out 5 to 6 times a week. And he is in OA. I have a 10-step partner. And we do our 10-step every night. And he is in OA. I have a new partner, like a love partner interest, and he is in OA. And all this stuff happened just because I come to this program and I know what I need. And I talk in meetings. I don't sit back and wish and wonder, you know, what I need to say, when I need to say it and all that. I make myself visible. That's how I got the great job I had. I make myself visible. And we do that when we really want something. You make yourself marketable. You go out and get a job. You try to get all the credentials you need and make it look good on paper. To me, OA is like getting a job. I want this. And I want it for life. And I want the residual effects of it. So that means I want a pension. That means I want it to keep coming no matter what. So I like to draw. Before, I used to like to drink, which I don't do anymore. And I used to like to overeat. So I don't do that anymore. So what do I do to cope? Besides being in this program that I am in every day, I get involved in so many things because I'm a doer. That has never changed. My workaholism is still there, but it is managed. But I go to Creative Reprieve, which is a Footsteps meeting. And I love, love, love Creative Reprieve. If you missed our Festival of Creativity, you need to be there next year because it was amazing. Right, Ben? I see Ben. So I'm going to show you. Excuse me. It's not even a minute long, I think. And this is just an example from another OA meeting that I showed some art. And it kind of shows my family and me a little bit. The pictures are kind of old, but, you know, that was kind of the point when I showed it. I wanted to show old pictures. But I'm very, very happy, and I'm very happy to have the family that I have. I have two older sisters who have taken care of me pretty much all my life.
1 minute reminder.
Okay, so I'm going to show you this. I'm going to stop talking. I just kind of ran over that one real quick. I'm like, okay, this is a good one to show because it's got all my sisters and everybody in there. And yes, I was operating a boat. I own a boat on Lake Michigan. So I love OA. I love this meeting. You know, yeah, I'm here because I'm speaking because I come to this meeting, you know, when I'm up. Because right now it is 4:30 a.m. in the morning for me. And I'm usually in the bed while I'm in this meeting. But thank you so much. And I'm just looking at all the faces in this meeting. So many people here right now have helped me in this program. They've helped me understand it. They helped me go through the trials and the errors of really abstinence, how to get there. You know, I've been abstinent now for 315 days today in a row. This is the longest I've ever gone. I relapsed 5 times before I got here. 5 times. But I think I'm here, and I'm never giving up. And with that, I'll keep coming back. Thanks.